Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Vacation Station Travel and Leisure Show. Hey, everybody. Today, travel writer Eva Eldridge is taking us to Cabo San Lucas. That's where she recently was. Her and her husband had a fabulous trip that involved going sailing, seeing dolphins and whales, and a whole bunch of cool food and beautiful beaches. And when she was there, it rained a little bit, so she got this beautiful verdant green that you don't always see in Cabo. So welcome back, Eva. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing
Another
good.
day.
Another day in paradise. Reading your article about Cabo, I'm like, well, we're surrounded by snow. I think we might want to go to Cabo next. get a little sunshine. Sounds good to me. But I do want people to know that the link to your articles in the radio show notes, so check it out there. It's also up on blendradioandtv.com, but it sounded like you had a really good time.
I completely enjoyed that town. I had no idea. I'd never been there before. And I don't know. I was just up for anything, and it was unexpected. And I kind of fell in love with it. It was, the people were nice. The scenery was beautiful. The weather was nice. It was just an unexpected place, because you expect beach towns and lots of tourist stuff, and there was, but it wasn't really what I expected for Mexico.
I know you stayed in a condo, which was like an Airbnb kind of rental thing, right? But
Yes.
you and Jeff, your husband, seemed to have a good time just kind of seeing the other side of Mexico, more of the localized kind of adventure.
We like doing that a lot when we travel. If we don't usually do tours and stuff, so we just kind of fly in or drive in and find a place and then go from there. So when we had rented a car and we drove in from the airport, parking is a challenge. So we were trying to find some place to eat. And the first couple of places it says, pull in here. Well, it's like, where am I supposed to park? There's no place to park. So he finally found a place off this side street, which was, I'm just driving for the first time in southern Mexico. And there was parking. There was parking right on the street. There was, a few steps to this literally hole in the wall where they had tongue tacos, and we had a wonderful experience, and the food was great. Birria and tacos de lingua.
Oh, the lingua. So lingua is the tongue.
Yes.
Now, a lot of people are going to shy away from that,
Yes.
But okay, so what does it taste like? What does tongue taste like?
Tastes like meat.
Like beef?
Like beef, yeah. So maybe just a tiny bit chewier. My mother used
Okay.
to cook. My mother used to cook tongue. She's German, and she would boil it, chop it up, and then put vinegar and salt and onions in it and make like pickled tongue. And we would eat that on boiled potatoes. That's a German dish. There,
Yeah.
they grilled it. So a lot of grilled tongue and tacos de cabeza, a lot of head meat. I'm not all sure. We just had the tongue. I was good with that. And then the birria is just regular old stewed beef, usually.
What was interesting is that you took a cooking class. And what I loved is that you not only did he take you through the mercado, but you also went to the local grocery stores. And when Nancy and I used to live in Mexico, it was really developing up. Like, they had what was called a Pelicanos, Fresca, I think. No, Fresca is a drink. And
Fresco is a grocery store too.
Yeah. And it was getting bigger and bigger. And I think like Walmarts and the Pizza Huts and everything were coming in. So there was the Americanization coming in, and that's everyone's choices that, are from there. But it's so you could do what you wanted as a traveler, right? You could kind of feel
Yes.
like home, but at the same time, going through the market for that cooking class had to have been one. Just, I know you made mole, and we'll get to that, because I know you're very excited about the mole. I am too. But going through the market had to be really interesting.
It isn't any different than really going through Pike Street Market, when they have the fruit and vegetable vendors and the fish market and, the meat markets. They had one when I was in Baltimore. There was a market like that. And I think there's like in, you know, Chinatown, there's these, you know, markets where they like farmers markets where they have everything. And that's what the little Mercado was like. So we got to pick out, you know, our limes and our avocados and all, you know, all the stuff we needed to make our mole and our dinner at that market. And he picked out the chicken from the, I don't want to say the chicken vendor, but from the meat market. And the chicken was, you know, like when I buy it from the farmer's market here, it's all bit fat and yellow. The fat on it is very yellow. And it was, oh my God, it was good. The chicken went, they just boiled it and we used the broth and the mole, but the chicken was delicious. It was very flavorful. So yeah, going, I love, and I like shopping at farmers markets anyway. I haven't done it because they closed our walk-through market and made it a drive-through market. But I like doing that because I like seeing what the local people are growing.
And eating, yeah. And I mean, because you're in Tucson, so was it a little bit different? I mean, did they have things like Nopales and chamoya and things like that?
We can get all that here.
Yeah, that's what
Yes.
I thought. It's
Yeah, we
kind of
can
similar
get
to home.
all of that here. Yeah, you go to the right market and you can find everything. You can go to Lily's or you can go to Food City, especially the one on the south side. You can find just, I could find everything I found in Mexico there at the Food City. So
Wow,
it's
that's
nice.
cool though. Well, when you went through, did your instructor teach you how to pick things, how to like, yeah, get this kind of avocado? But then when it's really fresh, normally you don't have the issues you do in a regular grocery store. You know what I mean?
Yeah, limes. He taught us how to pick out limes, and the limes were, get the limes that aren't bumpy, get the smoother limes because those have more juice to them and are easier to squeeze.
Oh,
So
wow.
when you go to the store, you'll see, you know, like really textured limes or lemons or whatever. Get the ones that are smoother, they're juicier.
Hey, now wait, did you use that for your hibiscus margaritas that he taught you how to make?
What, those limes? Yes, we squeezed, the bunch of us squeezed 40 limes and we used those, that lime juice. He already had the hibiscus syrup made up. So, and
But the
that's made
hibiscus,
with,
oh. That if you're squeezing a bunch of limes, you deserve extra margaritas, I think.
yeah, and I took advantage of that. Thank you.
So is he taking the hibiscus blossoms to make the syrup?
You get them dried, you can get them down at Food City. You buy it either in a package or they had it bulk there. You buy it dried and you just boil them up, and then you have to strain them a lot. There's a lot of dirt in them. So I've got a batch of it in the freezer, but you strain it and then add sugar. You need to add sugar because it's quite tart. But yeah, that's what he did.
I drink hibiscus tea a lot. I love hibiscus. It's
It's
just
good. It's really good. It's very refreshing.
very refreshing. Now I know if I don't get to the mole, you're going to get mad. You had a good mole time. Tell us about the mole cooking, because that sounded to me like that's something like I think I told you before the show in one of our conversations that there was the Pollo place in Ensenada that I went in that one night. We had this amazing chicken dish with the mole, and I've never recovered. And they've never made it the same again. And I've never, it's like you're chasing that flavor, and you can never. I mean, from reading your article, it seems like I'll never get it right because apparently so many ingredients go into a mole.
And I think every region and every cook has their own recipe. And I think that's the trick. But I became fascinated with mole. I actually have a book here on how to make it, but I kind of got fascinated with it because you're supposed to burn the chilies and then wash them to get the burnt taste out and then do this and do that. And there's a
Oh, wow.
bunch of different steps to that particular recipe. Well, he didn't teach us that. What he taught us, he had all, and I think I had pictures of all the different kinds of chilies he had already. And what we did was fry them in oil. So they're, you know, dried chilies and we fried them in oil. I
I've never heard of
believe,
that. Yeah.
yeah, you know, and then did we have, I think we broke off the tops, but I actually can't remember that right at the moment. I think I did, but I fried, when I made it here, I I fried all of the chilies in oil, and then you started adding, and you fried almost everything, like the tortilla and the piece of bread and the tomatilla and the tomatoes and all the
Wow.
stuff that you, all the ingredients you put in there, you fried it first, and then you dumped it in the broth, and he used chicken broth. I think you could use vegetable broth, right? To, if you want a vegetarian version of this, which would be just as easy, as you would do that all, you know, you put everything in vegetable broth and you cook it, and there were raisins and lots of, and like the spices, you put it on a dry skillet and heated up the spices in a dry skillet, not in the fat, in oil, to, you know, make them more aromatic. And the nuts were the same thing. You toasted the nuts dry, in a dry pan, and then added it to the broth. And then once you added all the stuff, and there was onions and the, there were 30, at least 32 ingredients on my list. And once you're done with all of that, you throw it in the broth and let it cook, and then you blend it. So I didn't have the super duper blender that he had, but what I did was took the immersion blender first to it, and then I poured it into my regular blender. And it made, and I didn't quite like my version of it. I ended up adding more cocoa powder, just real good cocoa powder to it, and a tiny bit more salt. Oops. And then it was the flavor that I enjoyed. So I think you can tweak that. You can change the nuts on it. You know, there's peanuts and pepitas and lots of sesame in there. And I think
I
there's a
think there
bay
was
leaf.
almond in what we had, and it's definitely had some cocoa, some kind of chocolate in there, but not too heavy because it was going on chicken. It was like
Well,
the
no,
sauce going on the chicken.
all of the mole is cocoa, has is a co chocolate based sauce.
Well, bring it on.
Yeah, but you don't taste it. It's not sweet chocolate.
Yeah,
It's,
it's not, you just have that like take that it's almost like an aftertaste, you know?
yeah,
It's
it's
like
a
a breeze
rich,
in your mouth, you know what I mean?
yeah, it's just, it's a complex flavor. And I like, because he had used chipotle in there too, and I liked that smoked flavor in there. And it was very, by the time mine got, by, well, even by the time he got done with it, because I didn't care for mole much in the past. I haven't cared for it. But I, you know, we get older, and we, this thing fascinated me. And that's why I wanted to go to that particular cooking class, because he was making mole. And I thought it was delicious. And it could have been the margaritas that contributed to that.
Hey,
But
but you know, but I think that this going to a cooking class in a different town and learning something traditional, it gets you to understand the community that you're actually in visiting. Did you feel that while you were there, or did that kind of come
yes.
later?
No, I love that part of it. Because that's one of their foods, right? It's here in Tucson, because we're in Tucson, but how likely are you to find mole where you are in all your travels, unless you get a jar of it off the shelf, which is not the same as what we made, right? And I mean, the homemade, the tortillas, their tortilla chips there are different than what we have here in Tucson. They're thicker and denser and have a lot more flavor than some of the chips we get here. There was a lot of stuff, not
Well,
that
yeah,
much
and
seafood.
you're doing Baja too, Baja cuisine, which is different than Sonoran. You know, it
Yes.
is different. And so I'm used to those very thick chips. And so when it's like chilaquiles, you know, I love my chilaquiles, right? That is the right tortilla chip for it. It's just, you can't,
Yes.
it's just different everywhere. But I mean, why are we talking about all this food? This is really cruel. I'm just
Part of the
saying.
fun of traveling.
Yeah, I know, but the tortilla chips, you're really right about them being thick. And it's almost like a bread, like a fried bread almost, the way they are, but not quite that level. You know,
Right.
it's maybe
Well,
like
the
pita
other thing,
bread chips. That's almost like that.
almost, they're a little tougher though.
Yeah,
But I
yeah.
think one of the things that I didn't know anything about, were the, was the green juice,
Oh yes,
jugo
let's talk about
verde.
that. Yeah.
And that was they had a variety of that. Every restaurant we went to that had the green juice was different. So some of it was very, very fruity, but it had nopales in it, and celery. Nepalese and celery were the two main ingredients in all of the varieties, and some of them were very celery, and I like that, but a lot of people don't. And then pineapple juice or orange juice as a base, and parsley, and I don't know, they were
Healthy.
all slightly different. And boy, and some of them had pineapple juice base. It was, oh my God, I loved it.
Was it thick and pulpy or was it thin?
No, it was thicker, but not halfway between pulpy and real thin. It
Okay, so
was,
not like a
yeah,
smoothie. Yeah.
not quite like a smoothie, no, a little thinner than a smoothie.
Cool. I will. Celery is so good for diabetes, so good for your body. I mean, it's like we all eat two stalks of celery a day, we'd be a lot healthier. It's like that's like the thing. It's good for your blood sugar, for temp, what's it, blood, high blood pressure, all of that stuff. It's really, really good. And it's salty, you know, depending.
Not to me, but that's okay. I love celery.
Yeah, celery. I mean, I could chow down on that every single day, but to make a juice out of it, that's cool. To put, and I would think like putting green apple with celery would be good. Ooh.
Well, that was in some of it too. That was apple juice, green apples, and I don't know, it was a great drink. And every version of it I had was different, but still tasty.
I wonder if they put aloe in any of it.
So,
'Cause you
yeah,
could.
some of them did.
Yeah. That's healthy, man. That's
Yeah.
good. Wow.
Yeah, I figured if I drank a glass of that, it countermanded all the darn tortilla chips I ate.
Oh, like here, I'm, yeah, that's it. Here's the balance. Well, it's 'cause you went around a bit. You had some nice dinners. Tell us about going out on the ocean. That had to be awesome.
We just did the tours there. So we did the Booze Cruise, which was a sunset cruise, and it was a sailboat. And so, you and a bunch of people get on a sailboat and they take you out to the arch in the rock, and you get to watch the sunset there. And then they reach through the, so you're sitting on the cabin, right? All of us are sitting on the cabin. And they open the windows below you and grab your ankles to hand you your drinks, which the first
That's
time they do
funny.
that, it's like, ah, what is
What are you
that?
doing? Yeah.
Oh yeah. So, and you had your choice of drinks. Tequila, of course, was the name, was it for me, but and then we got to watch the sunset, and that first night on that sailboat, it was lovely. We got great views. They took us, they took pictures of us for, you buy the package and you get the pictures, which was good. It was fun. That was funny. We got to talk to people from all over the country and a lot of Mexican local, Mexican people too. There were people, all kinds of different people on that sailboat. So that was fun. And then we did a dinner cruise with our friends. Also, it was not a sailboat, or it might it wasn't. They didn't have the sail up. They did put the sail up on the sail cruise. I think the sail was up, and they were still motoring, but whatever. And then the dinner cruise was just the same kind of thing. You talk to a bunch of new people, and the people sitting across from us were actually going to the same concert Jeff and I were going to the next month. So they were coming to Phoenix to see Stevie Nicks and Billy Joel. We didn't
Oh
see
yeah.
him there, unfortunately. There were,
Yeah.
a few thousand people, but we had a great time with that. And they had excellent food, steaks and asparagus, and that fancy stuff. So that
And
was
did you
fun.
see dolphins and whales?
Whales. The whales were just coming in. So the day we did the sail, the booze cruise, was the whales were just heading into Baja California, right? In up into the Sea of Cortez. And so they were starting to come in. And by the time we did the it was almost a week later when we did the dinner cruise, there were a lot more of them. The pods were coming in to the Sea of Cortez. And that's great fun to watch
That's amazing.
those whales breach. Ah.
Ah, that's magic. So going out to eat in other places, what was that like? You, I know you were talking about the little taco place in the beginning, cruising, obviously amazing, but I know you did some other restaurants overall. It seems like you could do all kind, I mean, 'cause you've got those big resorts there too. So it seems like you could do a little bit of everything.
We didn't do too much of the resort stuff. What we did was Jeff would find go searching for restaurants, and he would go and he'd say, "Here, drive here." And we would drive to some very interesting area. You know, once again, the streets are tight, and the traffic is a little crazy, but we would drive to some place and find a place to park, and these little restaurants were gems. The food was excellent. We went down to the tourist place too in Cabo. We took an Uber down there because parking. So there's a couple times we took Ubers and walked along, the tourist shops and found, let's try this restaurant here. Okay, let's eat here. And we didn't get a clinker once there.
Wow.
So that was nice. And then
Mexico knows me. I mean, it's like the food there is
well, I
just, I
think
don't know if
people are
it's so fresh.
afraid. I think people sometimes are afraid of it. They're afraid of Montezuma's revenge or whatever. But I didn't really have any problems like that at all. We didn't have problems like that at all. We ate everywhere. We ate salads. We went to Flora Farms, which was in Cabo San Jose, which is where the cooking school was. And Flora Farms is, they grow their own food out there. I had artist shops and stuff, and it was excellent food, excellent,
Awesome.
salads and pizza and stuff like that. But it was excellent, and it's all locally grown.
That's what I miss when we lived south of Ensenada in an area called La Bufadora, Punta Banda, and it's like Punta Banda de La Bufadora where the blowhole is, and that's where they grow all these vegetables, the baby vegetables for predominantly the US. And you would get them locally. And it's like, I can't, baby carrots are, I mean, real baby carrots, not carrots shaved down to baby carrots. We're talking real baby carrots. Like, you don't even want to put extra, you just eat
Eat
them
them.
as they are. And I wonder about the ingredients in Mexico being, they're more farm to table than ever, and then they know the spices, these amazing concoctions. It's like, I think like mole is almost like making garam masala, getting
Yes.
that kind of blend. I mean, there's an art to it, and it comes down through families, doesn't it? The generations of these mixtures, these amazing recipes,
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, and they're family and regionally orient centered, and I like that, and I like exploring that. So, and I don't know that you could ever recreate it exactly when you come back home, but I think we're lucky here because we have such a Hispanic population and we have access to a lot more of that stuff than many people do in the country. But I'm thrilled. And I like the people there. It was the same thing. The people were friendly and nice, all the Uber drivers were, that we talked to them, and it's like, yeah, we're here because we could get a job, or the people that a couple of the resorts too, the pay is good, and they didn't mind, catering to us obnoxious tourists because they were making a better living than they would at home.
Well, I'm just a little jealous because I kind of miss Mexico. I've always missed living there, and I loved living there. I absolutely adored it, and the people are so sweet. And it's like, you go to eat at a restaurant, and when you live there too, it changes a bit. It's an expat community, but you become part of each other's lives.
Right.
I remember when our friend passed away. He supported the local soccer team or football team, whichever you want to call it, whatever, and the local kids, and he passed away, and they played an actual match just for him. Like, the two
Oh.
opposing sides came together in his name to honor him. And
How nice.
they didn't have to, they didn't have to do anything, but they did. That's the kind of people. And you, it's, I think when you go back, which I'm assuming you will, you're going to find that you meet the same people again, and they're going to remember you,
Yeah,
if you
I
go
hope
back
so.
soon enough.
Yeah, well, yeah, we have a few other things to do between now and then, but I would go back there if given the opportunity and time. I would definitely go back there. We'd probably go, find a different Airbnb maybe to stay at, but I didn't I didn't get any. Sometimes you go someplace and you get hinky feelings that you just don't feel right about a place. I didn't get any
Sure.
of that down there at
That's
all.
awesome.
And the beaches aren't swim beaches so much, right? They're kind of rocky and the undertow is vicious and the waves were kind of vicious. So it's not, I was surprised. I expected beach time and I didn't really get beach time, but that was okay. I totally enjoyed being there. And I love the view of the ocean and the rocks and all the other
I
stuff.
like
That
the
was.
drama ocean, the drama beaches to me more than the let's just sit on our butt beach, you know.
Well, and I'm a little over being sunburned and yeah, fried.
Well,
Yeah.
yeah, we've all been there. You're in the desert, we know,
Yeah,
we
well,
know.
and I stay in and cover up, stay out of the sun. So I'm not that, I love the sun, but I don't like burning myself with it anymore.
No. So where's next for you as a destination, travel wise?
Colorado Springs.
Ah, that's nice and warm.
No. It'll be in, I'm leaving on the first, on February 1st, to go to Superstars, that writing conference I go to. So I'll be there for almost 2 weeks.
We might see you on the road. You never know with our travels, but you
Well, and
travel.
if you're, we'll work on that maybe. And there's something in March that I can't remember. Oh, we have Festival of Books in March, Tucson
That's a big
Festival of
deal. Oh,
Books.
yeah, tell everybody because you've also got your anthology that people will be able to get there, right?
Yeah, and you can still get it off my website now. There's a link on my website. And
Trouble in Tucson. Yep.
Trouble in Tucson. And yes, we'll be selling it in person at the third largest book festival in the country, which is
Yeah.
held at the U of A campus, March 9th and 10th.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome,
And we
awesome.
will
So,
have a booth. We have a booth called Trouble in, oh, Trouble in Tucson.
Tucson.
It is Tucson Sisters in Crime. And we will have a
Yeah.
bunch of authors there, and we'll have Lindsay will be selling her book bags, and we'll be selling, authors will be signing their books and selling their books. It'll be fun.
That's
There's
nice.
lots of people.
And then, for the audience, if you go to their booth, since it's the Tucson Sisters in Crime, I wouldn't eat or drink anything you're offered. Just kidding. I'm
We had a
just
show
kidding.
about that.
Yes, we did. We did. We've had some fun shows, and we'll get the Tucson sisters. I was going to say we'll get the sisters back on the show, but you do have some brothers in there too. So we do. Well,
Yes.
I think it's a fantastic organization. Every time, you guys come on the show, I get the giggles because it's like there's no limit of where your mind can go because of the creativity of, plotting murders or mysteries and things, and it's creative fun, and I think it's great for everyone to twist their creative muscles and, push them out a little bit. And I just kind of get a little warped, but that's okay.
It's okay. Well, our Feisty Felines and Other Fantastical Familiars, the anthology I put together in grad school, is available for pre-order
See?
now. And it's on my Facebook page. You can find that link to my on my Facebook page. But it just came out. We're just getting it, starting it now. But that is a whole collection of like very unusual stories too. So fun.
Everyone, check that out. Go to evaeldridge.com. Again, the link's in the show notes, as well as her link to her, I was going to say her recipe because now I want the mole recipe, as well as a link to her article as well. And then next time we see Eva, we're going to see if we can get her to do a video of making mole. How about that? We've got the red chilies. I
That's
look at the
scary.
face. She's like, no, it's not going to happen. We'll
Well,
see.
it took days to get that together, so maybe.
Well, thank you so much, Eva. Always fun, and we'll see you soon, sometime this year.
I hope so. Take care and drive
You too.
safely.
You too. You too.
Right.
Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio's Vacation Station Travel and Leisure Show, brought to you by Big Blend Magazines. Keep up with us at bigblendradio.com or blendradioandtv.com. Happy travels!